بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في البخاري وموطأ إمام مالك أفضل الأعمال إلى الله تعالى أدومها وإن قل My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we're at that point again where we can look forward to the month of Ramadan because there are approximately 2 months left now for this month to come. And when there were 2 months left, Rajab and Sha'ban, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would enter into Rajab, he would make a dua that, O Allah, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. O Allah, give us blessing during the month of Rajab and Sha'ban and allow us to reach Ramadan. The benefit of blessing during the month of Rajab and Sha'ban is that once a mu'min starts having a concern for what he is going to be able to do in Ramadan and his achievement, what he wants to gain from Ramadan, then all of the things that we have as a list of things that we need to do before the month that is preoccupying our mind. They generally say that if you have to get rid of stress, because stress is really bad for your health, they generally say that don't keep things that are important to do, don't keep them not done, and just make a big list, because it will continue to stay in your mind, and it will continue to plague you and haunt you, it will continue to concern you until you actually do them. When you've done them, then it's like a weight lifted off your head. So in a similar way, we all want to do very good in Ramadan. We want to take that opportunity with all of the great rahmah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given during that month to benefit from it. However, if we've got outstanding projects, outstanding issues in the house, outstanding issues at work, outstanding issues with other people, maybe to do with your car or whatever, that is going to constantly be on your mind. And you're neither going to be able to do good worship with full intention and full concentration, and neither is your work going to be done. That's why they generally recommend, even in general, for general well-being, that try to get important things that are on your list out of the way as soon as possible. Take the time out to do it, especially if you're a person who likes to procrastinate and who likes to wait. I'll do it. It's really an advice for such people. Regardless of that, whatever it is, let us try to use these 2 months. We ask Allah for barakah and blessing in this month. Barakah and blessing means that Allah will allow us to do more than you normally would think you can do. Because when Allah gives blessing in something, it becomes better quality and it seems longer and you can achieve more. That's the barakah. That is what you call barakah in Islam. So if you have £5 but you have barakah in it, you'll feel a lot better in the thing you buy with it. If you don't have barakah in it, then you can spend £100 and you'll feel like you've wasted it. So at the end of the day, it's not about how much you have, it's about how you feel and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you feel. That's why it's so important to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah in everything. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for barakah during these 2 months, and then he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah allow us to reach the month of Ramadan so we can benefit from it as well. That's speaking about Ramadan. The main thing though is that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this hadith related by so many, from Aisha radiallahu anha, through so many different ways, Imam Malik has related, Imam Bukhari has related, many others have related it in a number of different ways, that the best of actions is the one that is regular, even if it's a small amount. So if all you are doing, aside from your fara'id, this is speaking about extra a'mal, nafil a'mal, optional worship, optional tasbih. If all you're doing is that in one day you can read a bit of Quran, maybe even 15 minutes or maybe even 10 minutes, and you're able to do 100 istighfar, 100 salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and 100 tasbihat. If that's all you can do every day, then that is better than doing a lot for a few days and then after that just dropping everything. Now, as we grow older, We're of varying ages here. We're of different ages. People who are here, of differing ages. It doesn't matter what age we are. Just in the last 3 months, I know of 3 individuals who are between the ages of 38 and 46, and they've had heart attacks. These are 3 people I personally know. These are three people I personally know, and each one of them is religious. One was a student. One was a student of the deen. He's becoming an alim. And the other two were ulama. And they've all three have had heart attacks. One is only 39 or 38. And the other one is around the same age. And the other one is about 45, 46. So what can happen to us, nobody knows. We gain a lot of the world, but how do we feel about it? At the end of the day, a believer is always going to have a nagging feeling at the back of his mind. I've got all of this, but what kind of happiness do I really have for the sake of the hereafter? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about iman bil ghayb, iman in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constantly spoke about whoever believes in Allah and the last day. If you believe in the last day, then you will see that whatever you do in this world, you will look at it in reflection to this last day. Is what I'm getting in this world, is it beneficial for that last day or not? Or is it just for worldly, earthly pleasure right now? It doesn't mean that you don't get worldly things and you don't make a lot of money. You can of course make a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with that. But the main thing is that along with it, are we doing enough that can carry on to the hereafter so we can stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah reward us? Another thing, another hadith mentions that whoever makes the dunya his main focus, whoever makes the world his main objective, main purpose of life, that is everything that he's going after and nothing else, that's his main focus, where more than 90% of his time is in that. And ask anybody who's after the dunya, they'll be thinking about even when they're eating. It'll be the last thing they'll think of before they go to sleep. It'll be the first thing they'll check in the morning. Let me check my emails. Let me check what orders have come in. What issues are up? Who's going to open the shop? What kind of customers are we going to get today? How's the weather today? Are customers going to come? Aren't they going to come? These are the thoughts that go through everybody's mind. Whether you've got a restaurant or a clothing shop, or whether you work in an office or whatever the case is. If that's your focus, your 24 hours are going to be spent in that. You'll be dreaming about these things. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever is like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away ghina from his heart. Ghina means to feel enriched. You might have nothing, but you feel you have everything. Believe me, that is such a valuable feeling if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give it to us. But the ghina will be taken away. It says, al-faqr, poverty, need, ihtiyaj, will be put right in front of his forehead. So it's like the man who has, you can say, something in front of him with a piece of meat and he's running after it. But every step he takes, that piece of meat gets further. It's like an animal that you put a helmet on with a wire on it, and he can see the meat, but he can't catch it because he goes forward and the piece of meat also moves forward. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the faqr will be placed bayna yaday, will be placed bayna aynay, in fact, right in between his eyes. That's all he will see. He'll become tunnel visioned. That's all he will see. He won't be very good with his friends unless they are his dunya. Then that will be between his face. But he will make many problems with everything else in the world, and the deen will go. The faqr will be placed in front of him. When he wakes up, he'll be faqir. When he dies, when he goes to sleep, he'll be faqir. In the sense that all he's focusing on. His focus is that I'm going to become poor, I'm not rich enough. He may not be poor, but he's not rich enough for himself. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his main objective, then the faqr will be taken away from his heart. The faqr and the poverty will be taken away from his heart. The ghina will be placed in his heart. So he will feel enriched with the little that he has or with the lot that he has. It doesn't matter if you have a lot or a less. It's what your mind is connected to. Where is your heart's connection? Is it to the wealth you have? Or is it to the wealth that you don't have? Or is it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter? That's why another version of this hadith says, whoever goes after the world, the poverty will be placed right in front of him, even though he's only going to achieve whatever has been decreed for him anyway. So whatever Allah has destined and Allah knows that he's going to get, he's going to get that regardless. But in his case, he's going to be following the dunya with a fear. Another hadith says that anybody who goes after the world and not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will leave him to the troubles of the world. He'll have to deal with it in his own way. But where Allah subhanahu, where he makes Allah his objective, then Allah will help him out. He will gather anything that's scattered around. If you think you don't have control in your life, you think nothing gets done, it means you don't have barakah. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not helping you and helping us put things together and make it easy by giving us barakah in our lives and in our action and in our deeds and in our daily schedule. That is why everything feels, I have to do this, I still have to do this, I still have to do this, I still have to do this. Once I complained to one of my teachers that I don't have barakah in my day, the day goes fast. The day just disappears. And my teacher said that time is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give him even 15 minutes of Quran reading in the morning. And you will see that Allah will open up the other time for you. Because you've given him 15 minutes, he will give you hours. If you give him an hour, he'll give you even more hours. The more you give him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your affairs. And this is just something I can tell you from experience that it works. You can only know if you have experience. If you don't know what barakah is and how it's differing, try it. Read your Yasin in the morning. So going back to the hadith which says that the best of actions is the small amount that you do as long as you do it regularly. We are getting older day by day. Every breath we take, we are getting closer to our destination. The car of our life is moving like an escalator even though you think you're still. That's what you have to keep in mind. We think we're still, right now nothing's happening, but we've just moved many seconds and many minutes and many hours towards our final destination and there's no going back. It's like an escalator, you're standing on there, you're still, but it's moving. That's exactly the example of this world. So never feel that, oh, I've got time because right now I'm not doing anything. Always feel that in every time. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for us with a good intention. That even if you're sitting still just taking a rest and your intention is for the sake of Allah, you'll be rewarded for that test because Allah is before you. You're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why let us not just focus on Ramadan. Ramadan is a time for an extra boost. But it doesn't mean that after the month of Ramadan or before the month of Ramadan, we do nothing and we do everything in the month of Ramadan. We will feel much better with the wealth that we have, with the nice houses that Allah has given us, with the nice cars that we're able to drive, with the great families that Allah has given us, with the great friends and community and environment and masjid and businesses and whatever else Allah has given us. Is in his bounties, we will feel much better with them and not so guilty with them if we bring some Islam in our lives, in the sense of extra deeds. There's a hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Jannah is innaha qi'an, it is an empty field. By the fact that we have all said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Based on that, we have purchased a piece of land in Jannah. So imagine you're given a piece of land in this world. Everybody was allotted a piece of land, you inherited it. You either do something with it or you leave it like that. Some people who like to go back to India, they've made nice houses there, they can go and relax. Others who don't, they don't care about it. What is our focus for the hereafter? Are we like those who don't go back, who don't care? And we think this is the place. I'm not saying it's praiseworthy to go back or not. I'm just giving it as an example. That there's people, 6 months, they're gone. And they do everything there. Even though they're 80 years old, they're 70 years old. They're still working on their house. But that's what we should be doing for the hereafter. Because that house is better than any house that you can make. How do you make that house? How do you benefit from that place? The Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنَّهَا قِيْعَانَ. It is just an empty field that you've been given because you've said, La ilaha illallah. We'll give you this field. You want to build in it? Every tasbih, every tahmeed, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. This is what's going to build you things in there. Every single one that you do, it will build and you populate this house of yours. That's how you populate it. So this is what we need to focus on. If we can get just the basic, I'll give you a basic example. If you can't come to the masjid to, you know, because in Fajr there's about one or two lines, which means the rest of us here pray at home. Okay, if you pray at home and you can't come to the masjid, then let's do something. At least start off with something until you can start coming to the masjid. Wake up 15 minutes before Fajr time begins. Don't wake up at the end of Fajr time. Wake up 15 minutes before Fajr time begins and make 2 or 4 rakats of tahajjud. As soon as Fajr time comes in the next few minutes, make your Fajr and go to sleep. Half an hour, you've got Fajr and Tahajjud. Okay, you haven't got the reward of Jama'ah in the masjid. But you can do this.
The women can do it. You just have to wake up 15 minutes before the beginning time of Fajr instead. Adjust the timing, that's all it is. If you can't do that and that's too difficult for you, then okay, wake up at the end of time, then wait for 15 minutes, do your tilawah in that, 5-10 minutes of tilawah, read Yasin, read 100 times Astaghfirullah, 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 that takes about 2 minutes. Read Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 100 times, that takes another 2 minutes. And then read Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. That's all of the tasbihs there. You read that, that takes probably 5 minutes. That's 15-20 minutes, then make 2 rakats of Ishraq prayer, and that's it. That's extra. We're not talking about just doing Fajr, we're doing do a bit extra. And believe me, the good feeling you get in your heart, what Allah gives you, the barakah He gives you with that is amazing. At least you can feel, main kuch kar raha hoon, I'm doing something. In the other one, we're just about making our salat. We're just about doing our obligation and we're waiting for Ramadan to do taraweeh. That's not the way we need to live. Because our car is moving. We have to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to bring in our life. Believe me, just start from today. Make an intention that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this many tasbihs every day. And it's not difficult once you make a habit. It's not difficult. Start off with a bit and let us increase. Stay away from sins as much as possible. And if we commit a sin, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. You'll see that Allah will give you barakah. He'll give you happiness in life. He will bring together all of our disparate and scattered issues. We'll be able to bring them all together and things will be clearer. Things will be in hand. We'll get more barakah in our life, in our work, in our business, in our families, in our health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.